Do you stay or do you go?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Now, I know that may seem to be a bit of an odd question to open up today's program, but let me explain what I mean, what I'm thinking, and what we're going to be getting into for a little bit today. A number of years ago, I worked for an individual. I'm not going to name who he is. Has one of those end time ministry things. And over the years, he would say that God is telling me I need to leave the country. It's too dangerous for me to stay here. And he would use that and raise a lot of money, but then he never moved away. Instead, he bought more buildings domestically. And from time to time, he would say, well, you know, they're coming after me. I may need to go to Central America or some other place hidden in the world where I can't be found. And using the internet, I will stay connected to you. Even at first, I believed him. But then people's actions tend to give away what they're really doing and really thinking. Maybe he did intend to go somewhere else, but I don't think he was ever hearing from God that he needed to move. Things like that happen too frequently. Today we're staying, tomorrow we're leaving, let's rent, let's buy. There was too much jumping to and fro. Now, the reason I'm asking the question, do I stay or do I go? Do you stay? Do you go? Do we stay? Do we go? Whatever. I am noticing something now that I really never felt 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, even 10 years ago, just in recent times. Some people are beginning to feel the need to leave where they're at and go to a different place. Now, in some cases, it makes sense if you live in New York and you've had these incredible draconian lockdowns, your business is gone, you're being taxed out of existence by fools like de Blasio, the mayor of New York, or St. Andrew Cuomo the Pious, the governor of New York. I get it. Those are just common sense decisions to get away from the silliness. I get it. But there's some other reasons that are beginning to show up. Not for everybody, and I'll explain that too in a moment. Some people are being told to exit where they're at, to be in a different place, to be in a community of sorts. I believe, and we talked about this yesterday a little bit, we're going to get into it a lot today, the church, Christians in particular, real Christians, are going to be persecuted more and more. We had it easy in the United States for decades. I mean, we had it easy. But those days are coming to an end. And being a Christian could cost you your job. It could cost you your social status. It could make you undesirable to live in certain buildings in New York, or Chicago, or Los Angeles. Say what you want, but we're coming into a time where Christians, even in the United States, will be persecuted for their faith, if you're a true Christian. Now, if you're one of those that accept all the sin the world has to offer and celebrates it, you'll be fine. But you won't be the church. You'll be an apostate bunch of non-believers parading around like they have some kind of good news when all their news is bad news. I think God is moving his people. Not all. I don't really feel the need to be moving myself at the moment. We have two places we travel between. I can see one of them changing a little bit down the road. But I also detect that other people are going to get away from these tyrannical governors and mayors and at least try to find some resemblance of freedom. I get it. And others that are saying, you know, the time has come where we need to be in community somehow, some way. And God will lead them. And don't panic if you don't feel like you're able to make any kind of a change. If God wants you to go somewhere, he's going to make it clear and provide the way. If you truly believe, God will always provide for your need. That's a promise. I want to bring back the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales again today. And I want to start on that topic, Dr. Gales, that do you think that it is possible that some people are being urged to prepare to go to another part of the country or another community or another place, even another country? What do you think?
Yeah, it's not only a possibility, but it's already happening. You know, those are the means to be able to move to safer locations or more what they would consider survivable locations. They can do it. Others would love to, but they can't do it just yet. Mm-hmm. I think God has put it on many hearts to do that. In regard to location for you and your family, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And those who can't do it or can't do it yet are also looking for those intentional communities. In other words, like minds in the area.
Even inside of an urban sprawl blue state city, they're going to find these little pockets where people are going to quietly meet, and they're going to be off the radar screen.
Yeah, and they're going to help one another, you know, and you're going to know people who can help one another, and that also is very important. As for the churches themselves, yes, you're going to meet in homes. I just heard an interview on the radio this past week where, and it was evangelicals, and many of them were already saying, we're going to go into the catacombs. The big churches realize they're going to be shut down. They're going to be the big, I guess some of the mega evangelical churches that are still holding to a good Orthodox faith, which they're not many, but they are. And those ones are realizing, we're just going to break up. We're just going to be meeting in homes in different places. Because they're already, I know a Calvary Chapel out in California owes over $1 million in fines because of Newsom, because they wouldn't close down. Well, this is just the beginning. So the churches are going to have to do that as well. And the Christian communities are going to have to come together in little pockets. But you're right when it comes to an idea of, how's that going to make the church? I think it's going to bring us into a somewhat of a revival in the sense that these small groups are going to meet, but they're going to be on fire for the Lord. And they're meeting, the fact they're meeting in small groups under the possibility of being arrested, or fined or whatever, means that they're willing to take up their cross and to give it all for the sake of their faith. And when you get those people together, you've got a powerful group, whether it's 12 in the upper room or 12 in your basement. You're going to have a powerful group of people who love the Lord and are willing to risk it all for him no matter what. That's the revival we're going to see. Not a big tent revival like Finney's Day or any of that stuff.
No.
You're going to see small groups sold out for Christ, on fire for him. And let me tell you something, God will work miracles through them.
They will. This is the problem that I see with so many people that I know. Some well-meaning people, they've been involved in the church all their life. They're in their 70s and 80s. Now they're so dependent on the government. And I was reading something somebody posted. Yeah, I still look at Facebook, and I'm waiting for, I'm doing MeWe. I'm beginning to, reach out. But the Lord is just laying on my heart that social media is not where I want you to fight the spiritual battle.
Right.
Stop doing it there. I mean, I'm talking to some like-minded people, but I'm not going to argue with you anymore on Facebook. If you want to disagree with me, I'm just going to, just go away, because I can't change your mind. You don't want it changed. You've had the opportunity. The time is up, you've been given the truth for years. I'm not going to waste any more time. I've had to learn the hardest lesson in ministry was taught to me by a Baptist preacher many, many years ago when I first took over a church in Florida. Now, my church was not a Baptist church, obviously, but because of my radio background, I was helping them with their radio station they were involved with a couple of other churches. But one day I was having a bad day, and I was telling him about some of the grief that I was putting up with some people in the church, and I spent so much time trying to fix the problem. And he looked at me, had a grin on his face, and we're having lunch, actually, at some little place in Englewood, Florida. He said, "Bob, only God can add by subtraction." And I made that, I thought about that. And then he said, "What does the word tell us? You know, what did Jesus tell his, that first group that he sent out in his name to witness to who the Messiah was on this earth?" He sent them out two by two. And he told them, wherever you feel the peace of the Holy Spirit upon you, then you reside and you stay there. If you don't feel it, kick the dust off your shoes and condemn the city and move on. And we're coming to that point now, that we are about to go out there physically and even electronically, two by two, place to place. And the Spirit's going to go there. If it's accepted, great. If not, we just don't waste any more time, because time is too stinking short. People, the time is short, and we keep forgetting that. We don't have time to waste a year on this one, you know, couple that it used to come to the church, and now they're, "Well, maybe I'll come soon." No, stop. I'm telling you right now, I'm giving you from the authority of God's word, stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your time with those that have already been given the word of God, given the truth. They know the truth. They've rejected the truth. They will not put God first in their life. They're going to put him second or third, wherever he fits for them. Stop wasting your time and move on. We don't have any more time to do this stuff.
Sure, sure. You know, and I see like three different things happening with the church, three different splits. Number one, I see the church that is going to stay, and that's going to be the compromising church, the one that's going to mm-hmm. be part of this world religion that's going to come together. And then you're going to have those who've wandered off. I mean, the article just came out and said a fifth of the flock in the Church of England and other places has just wandered off. It's gone.
So in a year. In a year. Yeah.
So all the clergy have to take pay cuts. Well, yeah, and that's everywhere. That's happened in the Catholic Church. It's happened in evangelical churches everywhere, because if I don't have to go to church and I can just watch it on TV, then why go, period? And so those people are out there. Then there's the intentional ones. They want to go. They're upset the way things are happening at the church. They're going to meet in people's homes. They're
exactly.
going to. They're the ones that God is going to use. And remember, I quoted, you know, many shows ago, that the God said through even the early church fathers that in the end, mm-hmm. the church that's going to be in the catacombs, they're going
right.
to work miracles. God is going to provide for their needs. God, you know, send them out two by two. Yes, but he said take nothing for mm-hmm. yourself, because God's power is always shown in our weakness, and he always allows us to have nothing, and he provides everything we need. Not everything we want, but everything we need when we trust him. And that's how faith is going to build, and that's how this small group is going to be powerful. And I can tell you this, as this world government rolls out, and that group is
and
formed,
it's coming,
Satan is going to hate them with a passion.
Amen.
Because they're the ones who can restart. If there's just one group of five in a basement left in this world, they can, through Christ, can restart the entire church again. And Satan knows that.
He knows it.
He knows that.
Why do you think it's been so important? And this is something that we've talked about, and I was recognizing this back in March and April and into May, that something about the church is being singled out more than any other group. Even restaurants were getting better treatment at times than the church. They had some ridiculous restrictions on the church. There was such an anger and hatred. Lori Lightfoot is a great example in Chicago of her actual total disdain for believers. She'll want to take your car away. They want to take everything away from you. You can't go to church. Yet we now know statistically, we now know factually, outside of just a couple of weird examples, for the most part, churches were never the super spreader. They just weren't. That was not happening like we were claiming to happen. And so when you look at a place like Grace Community Church in California, 7,000 people worship on Sunday. They're still waiting for the first person to be dead of coronavirus in that congregation.
Yep.
What's that tell you?
Well,
and the only few cases that they can ever trace there were, you know, paid security, outside security guards that may have contracted it somewhere else. So God's hand of of care and healing and protection has been to the faithful. Yet among the non-faithful, oh, we have to close down. Oh, people are getting sick and dying of COVID, or we think they are, or they're dying. And so the church is like hamstrung. The church's one foundation is Fauci the fraud, not Jesus Christ or Lord. I mean, right. This is the problem. We're trusting men over God. We are trusting the power of a vaccine over the blood of Jesus. And this is my concern. You know, we as Christians are not acting like Christians. We are acting like cowards in the face of a virus, something we can't see, something that we're not even sure really exists in the form that they claim that it did. Mm. And we're taking a vaccine for something that we're, let's be honest, a little bit of insight, as I told you, give you some of these little factoids that come out later, that all these vaccines are not based upon any COVID-19 virus. They're based on the virus of 2003. That was the first COVID SARS virus. They're not based on anything new. Am I right?
You're right. Absolutely. These vaccines supposedly have been around for ages. They're not something they just came up with. This is the issue, okay? They've been dealing with mRNA vaccines for a decade. And they'll tell you that, but what they won't tell you is it's never been tried on humans before.
That's right.
This is the first time they're doing that. But they will say it's been around a decade, and they have been. And that's why we see the studies of some of the animals and things and how it failed miserably every single time. These vaccines given to the animal subjects failed, and now they're giving them to us.
Yeah.
So, and they're not vaccines. It's a gene therapy. It's a DNA changer. It's a gene therapy. It's a chemical shot is all it is. So even the name is misleading. You know, we're seeing all of that. And Christians are wondering, what do we do? Those who do see it are being called conspiracy theorists. We've talked about that. Bill Gates, in the past week and a half, has been funding a blitz campaign in the media against people calling him crazy and an evil conspiracy theorist, him and Fauci. Right. And
here Fauci is a doctor that hasn't seen a patient in 40 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you got Bill Gates, who his claim to fame is he stole an operating system, a DOS operating system, and then stole the concept of a graphic user interface and called it Windows and became a multi-billionaire based on theft.
Yeah. So did what's his name from Facebook. This is what we're looking at here. And he's coming out and saying, well, I never said I'm going to track and trace anybody, nor did I ever say, you know, people are saying these terrible things like Dr. Fauci and I planned this pandemic. Okay.
Well, what were you doing together back in New York? New York. Back in 2019. What were you doing there?
They're sitting there planning the pandemic.
Yeah.
So.
And how did why was it that there was this magical thing ready to go at Johns Hopkins University just in time for the pandemic?
Well, why would the WHO have developed in 2015 a world surveillance system for microbial issues? I mean, unless they were thinking something was going to come.
Yeah.
In the future, it's a world surveillance system by the WHO.
The WHO.
So, yeah, this has been.
And we're not talking the rock and roll band from the 60s, my friend.
No, I would love that. Well, at least they sang Won't Get Fooled Again, right?
Yeah.
We seem to be getting fooled every other week. But, yeah.
And so many people are so. We got a break coming up here, but I just want to throw this at you for a second. We have too many Christians that are so afraid of losing this mortal life, and they're not thinking of the life yet to come. They're thinking about it like, well, yeah, it'll get here eventually, but I don't want it now. They're not thinking in terms of what the church has always been. The church in the United States, in my lifetime, your lifetime, my parents' and grandparents' lifetime, was never oppressed by the government, per se. They just weren't. But now the churches get singled out. Now we have a regime in Washington, and I say a regime And I'm not talking just those that were elected. I'm saying those that are entrenched, those that are there for the lifetime. They're, the number of those that are non-Christians, non-practicing, or they are in a church, it's a woke church of weirdness, they're the ones that are in charge right now. And they're the ones that do not like you and I at all. And so I want to just ask you to one quick thought. Where do you think the church is going to be 5 years from now, if we're still here?
It'll be underground. It'll be in the catacombs. It'll be dispersed all over the place in little small groups. And it'll be hunted. It will be hunted because this is a spiritual war. This isn't really a physical war between police and intelligence communities and other people. No, no, no. This is a spiritual war. And the enemy knows that he's got to get rid of us. But remember the book of Revelation, that even though the dragon gets mad and pursues the woman, the church, that the Lord sends out a flood. He opens up the earth to swallow the flood the dragon sends out. And that means he's going to protect us in the wilderness. And that's our hope. But it's more than that. Folks, this is true. That's the God we serve.
Yes. As we go to break right now, I want you to think about a couple of things. Keeping connected as we go forward. I've had a couple of conversations in the last couple of weeks with some listeners and people that are friends of the show and other people in ministry that operate shortwave radio stations. And we wonder, we'll be one of the last things that the government comes after because we're not even on the radar screen, per se, to those that are in the what I call iPhone generation. Maybe some domestic FMs and maybe to a lesser extent AMs. But, you know, we've got to stay connected. And I'm really praying about three things. I had a long conversation with a good friend, two friends. We did a conference call together. And we're just trying to figure out what is God calling us to do in terms of using media. Now, we're going to do the best we can. I'm always concerned. Right now, I'm using two main platforms. One is Anchor, which gets it to a lot of other places. Another one is Spreaker. And I know I've got listeners on both, but I may want to get rid of one, add a different one, keep Anchor for a while, but develop. It's going to take time, and I don't have the time or even the resources fully at the moment to do it, but I want an alternate platform online that is not going to be on anything owned by the Amazons or the Googles of this world. I can't take that risk, so trying to develop this is going to take a wee bit of time. Number two, shortwave. There are a couple of places out there in this country that I really think could be developed and spun up better than they are to do and reach more. I think this shortwave medium is going to become increasingly vital for Christians, and it'll be our lifeline for a number of years to come. And I'm looking at a couple of things, and I want you to pray with me that I can work with a couple of different places. I can't give the call letters. I can't tell you where they are, where they're at, but there's some things out there. And even at some point, maybe looking at trying to get something offshore in Central America that can reach the United States. Those are things that are very possible. So keep that as a matter of prayer. As we go to break, let me give you our mailing address. It's Truth to Ponder. And you can reach us at our Georgia address currently, 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K, S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane. And add the number 263. That's important, that number 263. That's the little mailbox they give us up here as you enter this region. And so it's 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia. Sky Valley, two words, Georgia, 30537. And if you can help keep this ministry on shortwave, I don't pay myself a dime. I don't need it. God has taken care of my personal need. But anything you can do to help with the shortwave airtime is always appreciated.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
A message to bless your marriage. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. All right, husband, so your wife isn't perfect. So she makes mistakes. She forgets things. She burns the meatloaf. She's not as young and beautiful as she once was. So you say, I have a hard time loving my wife as she is. Well, this one's for you. In the book of Ephesians, it's written, husbands, love your wives as Messiah loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, husbands, love your wives as you love them. It has nothing to do with how you love them. How you love them or how you don't leaves much to be desired. God doesn't even get into it. He says, husbands, love your wives as Messiah loved. If it was just as you love them and if the way you love them was fine, you wouldn't need a scripture in Ephesians telling you to do it. Forget how you love them or how you don't. Your love for your wife isn't based on your love for your wife or your lack of it. So never love your wife as you love her. Love your wife as Messiah loves. And notice it doesn't say husbands love your wife as your wife. See, your love for her isn't dependent on her or how she is. As Messiah loves you, so you love her. She's not perfect, but chances are, my friend, you're not perfect yourself. In God's sight, you've probably burned the spiritual meatloaf many times. So you're not so beautiful yourself, but you know, he loves you anyway, and that's how you become beautiful. It's hard for you to love your wife? Good. Stop loving her as you love her. Step out of the whole thing and do something new. Start loving her as Messiah loved the church and gave his life for her. And your wife will become the beautiful bride she was always meant to be. Want more? Ask for Man to Woman. Now the free gift for you. The most incredible evidence and proof of Jesus as Messiah discovered in the writings of the rabbis. You'll get it in the mystery of the temple doors. The sapphires guaranteed to give you the power of living a victorious life in God. All free. So how do you get these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's all you do and you'll be so blessed. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. But call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, my friend, you're on this earth for a great purpose, to be a blessing. So I invite you to join with me in bringing the greatest blessing to the unreached peoples of this world. Salvation to 5 continents with over 1 billion people. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, The Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. It's The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah Adon Olam, the Lord of all.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part 2 of the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. As we went to break, I was sharing some thoughts about how we stay connected and use shortwave. And I do want to let my listeners on WRMI who listen to the broadcast at 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Time on the frequency of 5950. We're going to be trying something, I think, later this week. I know Thursday and Friday, definitely, maybe as soon as today or tomorrow. We record this in advance, so they may surprise me. We're going to try to put it on twice just to see which frequency is going to work better. We're going to try it again, 4 o'clock, and then again it'll repeat at 5 p.m. on the frequency of 5950 kilohertz. And we may move the program till 5 p.m., currently, it also airs at 6 p.m. on 9395. These are all Eastern time. And I'm going to try to find out. Maybe we'll find out that one of these times is better than the other. And maybe what I'd love to do, and I'm not sure if we can get the time, but I'm looking to hopefully have a better evening time than we currently have. Maybe even something to the West Coast. We need to really get this country covered with the signal. I'm reaching out to a couple of, you know, literally, we've added KVOH. I'm not sure how much that helps at 9975. And I may want to talk to them about a frequency change there because I've been doing this for a good chunk of my life. And there are 2 other privately owned stations that I'm negotiating with as well that this program may just fit. Pray about it. There's some opportunity. I just need to see what they cover. If you believe in this ministry and shortwave, this is how we're going to connect. I really believe that God is going to use these facilities like he never has before. it was by providence more than anything else that I ended up taking a job back in the, about 1981 with a transmitter manufacturer. And I knew about shortwave as a kid. I played with some listening to the radios, but I never really understood how important it is worldwide till I started building the equipment. Matter of fact, that one of the transmitters in the United States I'm negotiating with is one that I actually built or had a lot to do with. I worked for that company. And there's another one of these transmitters that could be moved. I mean, there's some opportunity out there. So I'm really praying that the Lord will use the talents that I have working with others to make sure these facilities are in place. Because when you go to Facebook, you're going to see that stuff disappearing. You're going to see websites harder to find. You're going to see some websites blocked by your ISP. Trust me, it's coming. Because they said something that sounds like hate speech. We don't want that to come to your computer through our ISP service. Those days are coming faster than you think. And so we need to kind of stay one step ahead. If you believe in this ministry, go to the website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. And you can send an email. You can even help support the airtime bill from there if you'd like. Or if you prefer the regular mail, you can write me at Truth to Ponder, and that's 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, and we are in the big city of Sky Valley, Georgia, little town, Sky Valley, Georgia, and the zip code is 30537. That's 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537, and any help is, appreciated beyond words. My guest today, as was yesterday, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. And as I bring you back, I want to look forward to what is God laying on your heart where we need. We can talk all day long about all the bad things and how this looks like it could be that great tribulation. If not, it's certainly going to be a significant tribulation and shock to the American system and many Christians. Regardless, doesn't matter. It could be one or the other. But we still need to be prepared because, weren't we told that we'll be hated among the world for his name's sake? And not just now, but for all time. Am I right?
You're right. I mean, look, Jesus warned us over and over that we were going to suffer. In this world, you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Yeah, we've lived in America. We haven't really had tribulation. To us, tribulation, I didn't get paid this past week, or I have some financial worries, or I had a flat tire on the highway. That's tribulation to us. Yes, but to the world, tribulation is like, I had a friend who went to Egypt and the Coptics down there, and one guy looked at him and said, "You Americans have no idea what Christianity is." And this guy was a minister, and he said, "What do you mean by that?" He goes, "Because we get up in the morning and we know that when we walk out of our house, we may never come back because we may get killed because we're Coptics."
Exactly.
Because we're Christians. And he goes, "And you know what? We get up and we go out anyway because we trust the Lord and it's what we need to do and provide for our families." And he said, "Same reason we put a little Coptic cross on our daughter's wrist when they're 7 years old. We tattoo it because when they're taken and if they're taken by Islam or some group that's going to make them wives of somebody, they're going to burn off that tattoo. They're going to burn it off their wrist, but there'll be a scar there. And we tell them, every time you see that scar, God forbid if this happens, every time you see that scar, you remember you're a Christian."
Amen.
And this is what they live every day. So our lives are already much different, but we have to prepare ourselves much more. We have to remember, that Christ said, "Don't fear those who can kill the body, but the one who can cast body and soul into hell." We have to realize this life, there are far worse things than death. And we've got to bring that back. This whole pandemic is striking fear of death in people. We shouldn't fear that as Christians.
Amen.
So if we do, we need to sit back now and ask ourselves, why? Why is it that we actually fear death? And start learning what those issues are that are causing you to fear that. Because I'll tell you what, perfect love casts out fear. And if that's true, and I believe it is because I believe what the Lord says, mm-hmm. and I believe his word, then I don't have perfect love yet. I need to find what that is. Mm-hmm. And that perfect love is in a relationship with Christ, which, by the way, is the only relationship that's going to get you to heaven. Understand that. It's going to be through Jesus Christ, who is the only one given and sent by God to bring us into heaven. Mm-hmm. Anybody who climbs up another way is a thief and a robber. I am the door, he said. And we have to remember that, and to have him as our Savior, and to hold on to him and have that relationship to him is to know love. And the more and closer we grow to him, that love begins to drown out fear in our lives. And that includes the fear of death.
Amen.
What did Paul say ultimately? For me, to live is Christ.
To die is gain.
Mm-hmm. Let that be our objective. That we all can say that. And when we can, in sincerity, watch out, because we're now part of the 12 in that basement, and mm-hmm. things are going to change, my friends.
Very quickly. Look, this is why we are told to do things in Scripture, to be prepared for these kind of times and days. And I think too much of the church has been so spoiled. Either you are in a woke church where you've already rejected the idea of sin and you've tossed away the Bible entirely and you've reinvented it on your own terms, and you know you are the lampstand of your church was taken a long time ago, and you got dead people running around in fancy robes and beautiful stained glass windows where the truth and the Spirit of God is no longer upon them, just by their own actions and by their own words. It's not something that Bob Bierman or Dr. Gales is saying. We are telling you that they have, by their own words, you know, condemned themselves before God, and they're proud of it. Then you have the churches that, well, they want to be make you feel good, but they're one of the first ones that are having a hard time keeping the doors open, and because they have built a monstrosity of a system, and it requires a lot of people to keep that complex going. And those people, if their faith was an inch deep, you know, it may have been 2 miles wide, but it's not deep, it's not going where, it's not changing anything, well, those churches are in big trouble. And then you're going to find those that are willing to risk it all. I mean, look, we're beginning to see, and Dr. Gales, we're going to talk about this just for a minute, then I want to get back into what I'm part of my thought process. We're coming into what is, China already has it, a social credit score. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that social credit score. You know, we just saw banks and other groups, a bank down in Florida, stupidly, and by the way, it's, you know, to see their Facebook page, they said, we want to get rid of Trump's bank accounts at our bank. You know, yeah, smart move. Yeah, you're probably going to lose half your depositors in the process, but they are willing to do that. This is what we're coming to, social credit score. You don't, you know, if you're conservative or you believe in pro-life causes, well, we don't want you associating with our bank anymore. We're going to throw your account out and mail you a check. Good luck finding a bank to take it. We're coming to that point real quick.
Yeah. It is spreading everywhere. And, you know, now it's thought police, right? So we hold to an ideology, and now you are penalized for the ideology that you hold. And I say to people, I don't hold an ideology. I hold a theology. There's a theological worldview mm-hmm. I have. That's it. You may want to be Republican or Democrat. You may want to be whatever ideological, political position. But in the end, I just believe what the Word of God says mm-hmm. and what he's always taught. I hold to a theology, and that's really what they hate. So, yeah, we're going to be subject to that. I know in a church, a liturgical church, that there is a minister who holds on to more of a left view, who went to the BLM rallies, and he had a bullhorn, and he was, you know, there preaching away, total support of them. His bishop, his church didn't do anything to him. And then there's a picture of a guy in the same group, a minister, who went to the Capitol and was out front. He didn't go in the Capitol or any of that. He was just there because he was supporting the Trump thing. He's getting defrocked. Guilt by association is now the key. And so now you're guilty by association. Everything is changing. So who you hang out with will affect you negatively.
Absolutely.
It might close your bank account. It might not allow you to go to Walmart anymore. It might, all those things are coming. They're already starting. And if there's not a big, big push against it by people, they're all going to be put into place. And that's what we see happening now. So, you know, you're, what you believe is not loved by the world, right? As a matter of fact, look, John, in he says, we know this. We know that the whole world lieth in the evil one.
Yes, it does.
The whole world. And then John says this. He goes, and we know that the Son of God is come, and he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful saying? And then he gives this little tweak at the end of 1 John 5. He goes, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I mean, that is it. We are in him, and this is eternal life. You know that we know Jesus Christ, his Son, and we're in him. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I don't care what you say about my ideology.
Oh, I know.
If, you know, and if you're going to take away, I don't want your system. And that's what I'm saying. I think what's going to happen is, as you said before, we're going to be pulling away from the system. We're going to be pulling away from all these communication platforms. We're going to meet in homes or wherever else we're going to have to. And we're going to learn, get this, to depend 100% on our Lord, period, on the Lord. That's where we're headed.
I'm telling you, I look at everything today, and I am convinced we are heading into a very significant time of tribulation. And I've told you before, I'm not going to say, we don't know. Is this the Great Tribulation? I don't even dare begin to speculate, because I can look over time and I can see other periods of time where we've seen equal or even worse things than we're seeing now. Americans think because we have a hangnail that we're under Great Tribulation, or if it's raining or snowing, we can't get to church. That must be tribulation. We don't know what tribulation is. We are the weakest church in the world with all the wealth. And there lies the problem. A wealthy church of weak people. And how long can that stand? Because the money's not gonna is gonna run out. I mean, when you can burn up a trust fund or the supporting fund in a church in no time when no one's there anymore. So where do you think that we talked about this before? A lot of people feel like God is calling them to be in another place. Other people want to be in another place, and some, you already are in your place. So what do you say to that person right now that is having those dreams, and don't think it doesn't happen, that maybe I need to get out of this place? You remember that song? It was way back. We got to get out of this place. And you know, it's an old rock and roll song, but it's true for a Christian of all things. Some of us already there, some of you are being called to be where you need to be. And so we need to work together on how we're going to get you moved and how we're going to stay connected together. I mean, I'm beginning to see some real progress in that area. What are you seeing? What are you feeling?
Same thing. I always live by a principle in my ministry. Where God guides, God provides. Simple as that. If he's not providing, then maybe he's not guiding. Mm-hmm. Maybe that feeling you had was the taco you ate last night. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, where God guides, he provides. He will provide. And so that's what I would say to those people who are getting those dreams and feeling that they, you know, they've got to move somewhere. God will let you know. Keep praying about it. Stay with him, walking with him each day. if he wants you there, he's going to pull together the circumstances to put you there.
Look, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I know somebody who I never thought would ever leave where they're at, where you have, and face it, there are a lot of people that know the Lord, but their spouses don't. And you always wonder how that's going to play out. Yet I'm watching miracles play out before my very eyes of this desire to walk away from the big corporate job, the desire to walk away from the crowded urban area where there's all this opportunity, and to lay a stake out there in the middle of nowhere or in a small town and become self-sufficient and also be your own boss in providing a commodity to other people and not worrying about your social score, because where you're going to go, it doesn't matter, because you're not in a place where those things are of any value yet and may not be for quite a long time. You know, the urban areas are going to be the most, well, we saw it during the lockdown. Urban areas are locked down. Urban areas have police out there screaming in your face more than any other place. When you get into a larger city, your police are going to be closer to the control of the governor. When you get into a tiny town, not so much. I mean, this is where we're heading to.
Especially when you're out on a ranch in the middle of nowhere. You know, I mean, the area that's condensed, okay, that worries me. And I live in an area like that. Because just as they're doing in other places because of COVID, they're putting zones in, green mm-hmm. zone, yellow zone, red zone. The same thing is going to occur right here. So if one of those newfangled, horrible diseases come, then maybe the area I'm in, which might be a 10-block mm-hmm. square area, will be a red zone because they'll have 200 people with it. And that means you can't leave that zone, which might be only a mile square, and you can't leave it. You can't, you know, and if I want to go in a green zone, maybe my ideology mm-hmm. or my theology won't allow me to.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you were a conservative, believed and voted for Trump. Guess what? You're not allowed to go to the green zone where you can go get a hamburger and go shopping over here. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's all coming in those areas. But when you're out in the middle of, you know, on a farm and you got your chicken and your cow and goat or whatever, and you're, how are they going to do that? How are they going to police that 24/7?
They're not.
They can't. That's right. So, you know, I get it. Those are the places I'd like to be. Mm-hmm. But I also have to realize, you know, these are some basic skills you have to know to really live there if you've Amen. Never lived there. You're mm-hmm. not going to go from Brooklyn and all of a sudden live in a place like that. You won't
no,
know what
not.
To do.
You're not going to know what to do in Western North Carolina from Brooklyn.
That's right. I mean, and like we used to say before, you can store up all the oats you want, but when you start eating only oats, I'd like to see what's going to happen to your digestive tract.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, when you start eating that 24/7, there's a lot of things you got to think of, right? But just trust the Lord. That's kind of the intentional communities. There's somebody who knows how to do that.
And you know, we're going to run out of time shortly, but one of our mutual friends, Father John Peck, who's actually of an Orthodox faith, but just a real believer in Christ, he talks about that, you know, it takes 30 family units to develop a community.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. It takes 30 family units and tied together in a little area to make a community where you'll end up having all the trades you need to survive. And I really believe you're going to see a lot of that coming together. A listener to this program was telling me that he was spending some time with some very conservative Amish people. They don't worry about the world. They don't live in it. They're in the world, but they certainly are not of it. And you got to give them credit. And that may be one of the problems that American Christians are. We're not, we don't understand the difference between in and of. We just don't get it. We are entrenched in the world, and our church attendance and our church participation and our church everything shows it that's not our number one thing, and we're more concerned about losing our internet or our satellite dish to watch the news than we are of serving our Lord.
We are
so invested in the internet that we don't think about shortwave radio as another means to communicate. You know, these signals, only takes a few of them, can reach the entire population of the United States to a radio that's you can buy for $40 to $100 and hear the world at your fingertips when your internet's down. And that's why I'm a big believer in the use of shortwave. I really am. We need it. It's coming.
You always talk about it, and I talked to a gentleman. He goes, oh, get out of here. Then he saw the election, saw what's happening. 2 weeks later, he called me up. He goes, you know, I think you guys are right about the shortwave radio. Mm-hmm. We're going to need those. I started laughing. I said, we've been right about a lot of things, and that's not pride statement.
No, it isn't.
The fact that we see what's coming. We have our ear to the ground.
Before I got to cut you loose and finish out the program, just I had a gal that knew nothing about shortwave, lives in another state, and the Lord just kept putting that word shortwave on her mind, didn't even know what it meant. And then just looking, finds this program as a podcast and then starts listening to it to find out about shortwave and realizing, you know, now she's now, I believe, a shortwave radio owner herself and learning how. It's nothing big. It's just like a regular AM/FM radio with a few more bands on it you didn't know existed. That's it. And you can hear us on this, you know, this radio, except the transmitter can be in Florida and it's loud and clear in Washington State, or in Illinois, or in Pennsylvania, or in Georgia, or in other words, this one transmitter is covering a tremendous amount of real estate. And we could even do a couple offshore and cover the United States and not worry about the FCC here ever deciding that our license is not worthy of being kept. Those are the things that are on my mind.
Yep, I agree. And those are the things we all need to look at and learn some basic ways of living, right? I mean, I look at people near me, even myself. If you were to put me on a ranch somewhere and give me a cow, I wouldn't know the first thing. I wouldn't even know how to milk.
My wife would.
I wouldn't even know any of that.
My wife did the farm thing for a long time so she could lead the way.
Good. I'll get her on shortwave and she'll do some cow milking lessons. But that's what we can do. We have to learn, folks. And my people perish for lack of knowledge, right? And that's lack of knowledge in everything. Learn how to do some basic things again and just draw closer to the Lord. The time is going to be tough. We know that. And you know, whether it's going to be great tribulation or just a dark age, the fact of the matter is we're here and we need to be lights no matter what. That's your calling.
My guest today has been the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. And Dr. Gales, you're so right. I was thinking about something you said just a moment ago. And I go back to when I was a youngster. Growing up in relatively modern times, I guess the late 50s, the 60s, the 70s were relatively modern. We had electricity, we had radio, we had television, we had automobiles. But a lot of fathers back in those days had hand tools. A lot of dads could fix a broken lamp, even take the tubes out of a television set, down to the drugstore, and, you know, you could fix so many things yourself. We took care of our own yards. We cut our own grass. We pulled our own weeds. I did that growing up. It was a part of my childhood. Today, I find people that are, 14, 16, 18, 20, they can't fix anything. They don't even know what a hammer really is used for. Screwdrivers, that's another story. It is amazing how we have a generation now of people that are supposedly incredibly well educated in our public school system that spends like $20,000+ per student per year. And we have functionally illiterate children coming out of school that can't do much of anything except put their face in a phone and be entertained. And now they want $15 an hour thinking that money grows on trees. It doesn't. You know, I look at all the minimum wage increases since I started working and where it is now. And the truth is, you're no better off today than you were 45, 50 years ago. Because once the minimum wage goes up, the price of everything rises and your increase is evaporated in short order. And then other people seeing you suddenly rise up without any merit, well, they want more money too. It doesn't seem fair. I worked here for years to get to $16 an hour, and now this guy's making 15 and he doesn't know what he's doing. I need 20 or 22. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. We've lost sight of that. We've also lost sight of being able to do certain things for ourselves. Now, I understand with some of the automobiles, it's not the days where you could be under the shade tree with a box of spark plugs and a condenser coil and points and tune your own car up. I get it. Some things have changed. But little things, our young people are not even being taught how to do, even balance a checkbook. I can remember before I graduated high school a million years ago, you know, back in the Stone Age, we had to understand the basics of life, how to change a tire on a car was a requirement to pass driver's ed, and that was for boys and girls. You don't want to be stranded. You don't want to be helpless, yet today we are raising helpless people. I worry about that. And as we come into more turbulent times, and we're heading for turbulence, my friend. I'm like the captain in the aircraft. Buckle up. It's going to get bumpy real soon. And too many people don't want to accept that as a reality. And they're ill-prepared. And that is a deep concern. Too many Christians have been entertained in their churches with the spotlights and the great music and the rock band and the singer and the guy that gives you an encouraging talk written by somebody else. I showed this to somebody. I had visited a church one time and they had this whole series on Jonah. And I'm going, then I found it online. You can buy that entire series and preach it yourself, including the graphics and the video, for only $99. A lot of these pastors don't even write their own stuff. They just say it and let the multimedia people put up the slides or the video, whatever they need, and the recommended music that goes with it all. And then other churches have abandoned the scripture and have just adopted sin and celebrate it. And we're finding fewer and fewer true Christians that even know much about God's word. There's a lot of work to do out there. That's why this program is here. I'm praying in all honesty to find more ways to get this program on more facilities, shortwave or even conventional radio, if God should open that door. While the show is doing well as a podcast, I'm always just look at all that has happened in just the past several months, the past month and a half. How fast does Twitter just throw you off their platform because they don't like who you are? I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. Twitter is not your friend, believer. If you're a Christian, Twitter does not like you. Twitter doesn't need you. Twitter doesn't want you. Even Facebook is getting a little bit more strict about the things you can say, and they consider much of the Christian faith hate speech anyway. And how long before platforms like Spreaker or Anchor or others that are tied to places like Apple and Google begin to shut down this voice? That's why we need more airtime. If you believe in what we're doing, would you visit the website truth2ponder.com? Truth2ponder. If you want to help out financially, you can do that too. You can mail a check made to Ancient Word Radio too. 21 Berkshire Lane, Berkshire, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263 in Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.